Chris and Phil on The Naked Scientist. And I got an email here from Chuck Root, who says he's listening to us in his car with his radio adapter because he listens to the podcast. The show's terrific. Well, thanks very much to you, Chuck. Now, Mark Peplow's here from Chemistry World. He's Hello, from Chris. The Royal Society of Chemistry, which is actually based in Cambridge, Chemistry World magazine. Mark's the editor. And what have you got for us this month?
Well, the first story up is a tad gruesome, but absolutely fascinating. It's about the former head of China's State Food and Drug Agency. Just over a week ago, he was sentenced to death after being found guilty of bribery and corruption. Now, this is such a big deal because estimates of how many people die in China every year as a result of taking counterfeit or substandard drugs, it runs into the hundreds of thousands. Now, this guy, Zheng Xiaoyu, was in charge of the state drug agency for about 8 years, and he's been found guilty of taking bribes of up to $1 million from 8 different pharmaceutical companies and illegally approving their products.
It's quite interesting because most people don't view China as being the most open country in the world when it comes to giving information and human rights and that kind of thing. So it seems strange that they're taking such a tough stance on this guy. Is it because it directly affects people in China that they've done this?
It's much broader than that, actually. One of the interesting things about the way that China's business, industry and science is going at the moment is that there's this huge push to get into the global marketplace and also to attract investment from abroad into China. It's generally seen, this move to execute Zheng, it's generally seen as a way to send out a real getting tough message to the rest of the world that the Chinese government are trying to clean up the amount of bribery and corruption that really spreads throughout the whole state system, but has particularly affected the pharmaceutical industry. It's very telling that on the day that his execution was announced, there was no official comment from the Chinese drug agency, but they did post the second draft of their revised regulations on how they were going to clean up their industry.
Still a pretty radical thing to just execute someone. I mean, we've got people in prison here for doing probably a lot more corruptive things than that, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's many commentators have pointed out that this may actually be a counterproductive move. Clearly, Zheng isn't the only person guilty of corruption within the drug agency. In fact, there's a great deal of evidence that it's really the negligence of local officials which is the main problem here. So this is likely to send out, I think, a mixed message to pharmaceutical companies wanting to invest in China because
you might get executed.
Well, it shows that the rule of law is somewhat patchy. It also shows that it's extremely open to political motivation as well. There's been a massive smear campaign against this guy before he was found guilty, running in Chinese state media for the last 6 months.
Well, that's certainly food for thought. We're talking of food for thought. Atkins, and it made the guy who wrote the book an absolute fortune. Unfortunately, he's no longer here to enjoy that fortune because he fell over in Boston in the ice and hurt himself. But people now have found some kind of scientific credence for his argument that eating a high-fat diet makes you lose weight.
That's right. The Atkins diet is basically very high-fat, very low carbohydrate, and it's called a ketogenic diet, basically because it makes your body break down fatty acids into a variety of compounds which are broadly classed as ketones. So in breaking down these fatty acids, in theory, it's going to help you slim down. Now, there's two studies that were published last week in a journal called Cell Metabolism. The first found that this sort of ketogenic diet, low in carbohydrates, high in fat, stimulates the production of a hormone called fibroblast growth factor 21. A second study, published in the same week, found that this growth factor actually stimulates fat metabolism in the liver. And in particular, that study, which was done in Texas, they actually treated mice by injecting them with this growth factor and found that it made the animals look as though they were starving. It turned on this starvation response. So they switched from using carbohydrates to burning up their fat stores as an energy supply.
So is this the diet pill of the future then? Is this the weight loss strategy, remedy, whatever you want to call it, that people have been searching for?
Well, there's no way to tell because this may be the hormone that's responsible for actually turning your body on to burning its fat supplies. But at this stage, clearly the experiments have just been done in mice. There's no telling what else it's doing to your body.
Sounds worrying. And talking of putting things into your body that might actually do good things, though, I mean, let's end on a high note here. We've heard about cider Now you've got some good news about red wine.
Yeah, this is a nice, fun story for any wine lover, really. A team of scientists at the University of Pavia in Italy have been investigating what happens to the wine when you slosh it around your mouth. And in fact, they found...
Well, it tastes good.
Well, it tastes good for a start, but they found that both red and white wine can actually kill the bacteria that causes caries, otherwise known as tooth decay.
Isn't that just the alcohol?
Well, that's the interesting thing. You might think that, but they actually checked this. They de-alcoholised their wines prior to the test in order to exclude that effect of alcohol on bacterial growth. They also checked to make sure that it wasn't the acidity of the wine. They sort of made some synthetic wine, if you like, of exactly the same pH, the same acidity, and tested that, and it had nothing like the effect. They think they've pinned down the effect to a group of acids called succinic acid, malic acid, tartaric acid that are present in wines, particularly prevalent in red wine. They think they've pinned down the fact that these can inhibit the activity of enzymes, which are big molecules that speed up chemical reactions in cells. They actually slow them down, and effectively that kills off the bacteria. More than 99.9% of all the bacteria in your mouth in one particular case.
How much better is this or worse than just toothpaste? To ask just a blunt question, because obviously we encourage people to clean their teeth. That's good, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, clearly this isn't the only way that you can kill bacteria in your mouth, and there are a variety of mouthwashes out there. But, you know, if you're looking for another excuse to have just that extra glass of wine, make sure you slosh it around your mouth good and proper.
The only slight downside is, of course, these red wines have a lot of tannin, don't they, Mark? And so you end up with nice, I'm sure, carry-free teeth, but it doesn't stop them going black, at least in the short term.
That's possibly true, but as in all things, moderation is the key, I think.
Thanks, Mark. That's Mark Peplow, who's the editor of Chemistry World magazine from the Royal Society of Chemistry. And you can find out more about Mark and what he writes about in his work at chemistryworld.org. This is The Naked Scientist in the meantime with Chris and Phil. And don't forget, we've got a teaser running tonight. We want to know, on a warm summer's day like today, how much water will a 50-foot oak or maple tree drink every single hour?